This is the Spark My Muse podcast with me, your host, Lisa DeLay. Everybody, and welcome to episode 8, Breathing 101, Lessons for You and Your Wine. So I have some exciting news. I will be interviewing two people this month that I'm really excited about, and I know you'll really enjoy. Daniel J. Lewis is a very popular podcaster all the way back from the earliest days when podcasting got its name from the iPod that Apple created, and he has a whole network of podcasts. He does the Audacity to Podcast, which helps people get started in podcasting, and he's been nationally recognized for a bunch of his podcasts that he does. Another exciting interview that's coming up is with author and blogger Sarah Bessie, who wrote Jesus Feminist, and that's coming out, and she has a new one coming out called Out of Sorts, and she'll be chatting with us all about that, and that's going to be really fun too. I've known Sarah for a few years now, and I've always really enjoyed her outlook and the quality of work she produces. Today's show is brought to you by Life as Prayer, Revive Spirituality, Inspired by Ancient Piety. 16th century Brother Lawrence lived each moment in God's presence, and it changed him so much that people sought him for his wisdom and advice. Everybody from top priests and leaders of the church at the time to clerics and even townspeople tried to visit him and wrote him letters to learn what he was doing and how he was so full of joy and the presence of God. He wrote them back. He would have been completely lost in history except for that a collection of these letters were gathered during his eulogy at his funeral, and they were presented and preserved, and so we can learn from him today. His life was about practicing the presence of God, and we can follow that path too for more serenity and joy. This book is available at Amazon.com. I hope you'll check it out. Your wine needs to breathe, and so do you. Aerating is a term used for the process of mixing freshly opened wine with air. When you pour a glass of wine, you fill it just about halfway up in your glass, and people swirl it around. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've done that. And that mixes a little bit of air into the wine, allowing both the fragrance and the taste to open up and emerge. And when wine doesn't respond to aeration, it's actually termed a dumb wine, D-U-M-B, a dumb wine. It essentially can't speak. Its flavors and its tastes are barely affected by aeration, as it should be, and so you just don't get a very good wine. Sometimes this happens if the wine has just been chilled to a temperature that's just too cold. It'll be rendered dumb until it warms up. And that's another trick of holding it for a little while so that the temperature of your hand might warm it up. But another clever trick to making a lackluster wine or even an inexpensive wine that doesn't have a nice bouquet of aroma is to kind of supercharge the aeration process. And there's three ways you can do that. You can put your wine in a blender. Just open it up and pour it in a blender. Blend it for a few minutes. Or you can use an electric hand blending tool like the kind you use for smoothies. I have one of these tools, and sometimes if the wine is just a little off, I will aerate it for just a minute. I probably would suggest that you don't do this in your wine glass, but you do it in a larger container so that it doesn't get all over the place. And then the low-tech version is simple but easy to do. You pour your wine into a pitcher or a bowl, and you whisk it with a fork or a whisk, just like you might scramble eggs and get air into the eggs. Vigorously mix it and swirl it for a few minutes, and you'll be surprised at the difference. If you keep a little bit out to taste before and after, you'll be surprised how much air improves the quality of wine. So the Spark My Muse portion of the show today is also focused on aeration, but kind of an aeration of the soul. And when we forget to breathe, a lot of things happen that are negative and we don't even realize are happening. We just kind of, in a way, lose our breath or our chest tightens up. And I was recently on a retreat, and I actually just recorded myself as I had this little epiphanal moment, and I realized that, thank goodness I was at the retreat to become aware of it, but I was starting to become aware just when I was there that I really wasn't being aware of my breath, that I wasn't breathing in a proper way that was a healthy way. And that simple thing of awareness kind of made this seismic shift in the way I was able to see the world and create things. So I'm on a retreat right now, and I'm here at the Jesuit Center in Warnersville, and I've been enjoying for a few hours the beautiful creation, and all the trees are in bloom, and it's just gorgeous here. I wish I could bring someone every time I come, because you can't really get the idea of just the bounty of the restfulness and the beauty here unless you actually come and experience it. And today I'm by myself. I haven't brought anyone along with me, and it's given me a lot of time to think and space to gather my thoughts. But I also realized space to gather my breath. I realized that somehow along the line, I forgot how to breathe. And when I was a kid, I had asthma, and I still do have flare-ups when I get sick. And breathing was a continual problem, and I would think about breath and breathing all the time. And I would struggle for breath, and every moment, every second till I got another breath was work and pain. And I did learn how to train my lungs to take in deeper breaths so that I could have enough breath to not get too tired. I'd practice these exercises to expand my lung capacity, and it did a lot to help me get past some of the worst times of asthmatic episodes. But I noticed that when I get tense, and maybe you're like this too, is that you get tight, shallow breaths. And it's interesting that the Spirit of God is associated with breath, and spirit in Greek is pneuma. And as you might know, and where the word pneumonia comes from. And breath is critical for life, and we have this breath of life that is associated with God, and God breathing in the breath of life into Adam. And the Hebrew word is similar in meaning when we say breath. It's not just air and oxygen coming into the lungs. It's a life force, and it's a connection with our divine creator. And so when we're aware of our breath and able to breathe freely and calmly, we can have this greater awareness of God all around us. We get to tap into this force of life. And so when we lose our breath, we have to be mindful of that it's happening at all, and then we have to be mindful of how to get it back. And that has a lot to do with slowing down and just realizing where you are and what you're feeling and thinking and where you are emotionally and where you are spiritually. One of the things I have found so helpful, and I'd love to pass it on to you, it takes only one or two minutes, is a combination of breathing on 4 seconds, 7 seconds, 8 seconds interval. and it's great for falling asleep too. But I noticed when I started it, I couldn't hold my breath for 7 seconds, and I definitely couldn't release my breath for 8 seconds. And it took me a little bit of training. I was just holding my breath far too much, and I was too tight. And so I encourage you to try it. So you breathe in for 4 seconds, and you hold your breath for 7 seconds, and then you slowly let out your breath for 8 seconds. Once you do this 5 to 10 times, counting it out, it has an amazing effect on the body. It has an amazing soothing effect. And I would love to hear if it's helped you and if you've tried it. I'd love to, you should let me know. Try to let me know. Faith and religious traditions have used breath awareness in meditation and prayer. It's pretty common. And our overall health is directly connected to our breath. The health of our creative muse, if you will, but also the health of our minds and our souls, our spirits, our whole selves. So if you have no breath, you have no health. And a lack of breath is really a lack of Spirit of God indwelling us. Not in a physical sense, the lack of breath, but that overall lack of space because things are too busy and the air can't get in because we're too tight. So less easy breathing means less peace. That's what I've found. In Christian tradition, a type of prayer called breath prayer came into prominence right in the beginning of Christianity. The most famous breath prayer is still breathed and prayed today. It's based on the publican's prayer from one of Jesus's parables, Luke 18:9-14. I'll read it for you. So Jesus says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This humble prayer is said in a phrasing rhythm with your breath. And it's inspired from that scripture. You inhale as you say, Lord Jesus Christ. And you exhale and you say, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It's one of my favorite short prayers. And of course, there's other versions too. There's one that has 4 intervals and it goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tried this one when I first began praying with prayers that have been the prayers of devoted Christians throughout the ages. And a lot of these Christians went through terrible, terrible persecutions. And they looked to these easy prayers to pray that wouldn't involve a lot of thinking and figuring things out, just a cry for help. And when I was saying it again and again, have mercy on me, a sinner, have mercy on me, a sinner, I felt like I was digging a hole sort of to crawl into, and I really needed more hope infused into my prayers. I wound up replacing a sinner with your child, and it just made this huge difference for me. And that's how I pray now. I deep inhale 4 seconds, Lord Jesus Christ, and then a long exhale, have mercy on me, your child. And one time when I narrowly missed being in a bad car accident, I was having trouble calming down. Maybe you've been in that situation too, where your adrenaline starts pumping after the shock wears off, and you start sweating and shaking, and you start thinking, wow, what if that had happened? I'd be dead, and my kids would be motherless, or maybe I'd be in terrible pain and physical therapy for a long time. Saying that prayer, I felt comforted and protected and loved by God. I felt seen by the one who gives me my next breath and who gives me good things because he loves me and provides for me and cares for me. So see if trying breath prayer can soothe you to sleep this week. See if it can build a simple awareness of how you're breathing. Maybe it can open your eyes to tension you need to let go of. Release your breath and then breathe in new life. Let it spark some new life into your creative muse too. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast and stop by the sparkmymuse.com website. You can see show notes. I have some giveaways and some resource links that I think you'll really enjoy. But thank you most for spending some of your time with me.